This is real news. Where is it? I'm Peter Laufer, co-director of the University of Oregon UNESCO Crossings Institute. Joining the University of Oregon UNESCO Crossings Institute, what is real news? Real news, what is it? Is photographer Dan Morrison, who teaches photojournalism at the University of Oregon School of Journalism and Communication. And what I'd like to do to kick this off, Dan, is to talk about some examples of fakes. I found a quote that I'm intrigued with from Robert Gilka, who was a picture editor at National Geographic. And he said, any electronic retouching is like limited nuclear warfare. There ain't none. And then I looked back a little bit at some historical stuff, and I found something that intrigues me, which is back to the Clinton presidency. And there is a group of distinguished, apparently, folks behind Clinton as he's signing a law. And over to Clinton's left is the postmaster. And the periodical Postmaster's Advocate wanted him closer to Clinton for the picture. So they took his head and they moved his head onto the body of the Virgin Islands delegate, Ron DeLugo. And they decided also to whiten the shirt that the postmaster would be wearing so he'd look more proper, I guess. But they neglected to take the delegate's pin off of the lapel of the jacket. So consequently, somebody who was studying this would see that that could not have been the postmaster because he did not wear a delegate's pin. So with that kind of background of two things that just catch my eyes, what are some examples of maybe more notorious fakes than just moving the postmaster three people over?
Yeah, okay, so it's probably helpful, I think, to clarify some terms, okay? So a photojournalist, unlike photographers who work for ad agencies or whatever, and those are photo illustrations. They're ethically, those of us in the profession, we're fine with that. As long as it's clear that it's not a news editorial image, we really don't care. At least some people do. They consider it a slippery slope. I don't care. So you see, look at pictures of women in Cosmo magazine and they neck is as long as a giraffe's and their legs are 8 feet long. It's like, you know, that's not real. The problem with that is it's kind of a joke, but the problem with that is that actually does damage to a lot of young girls who are reaching puberty and they're worried about body image and they see those pictures and they think that is real. And then it causes a lot of trauma for them because they can't get that perfect body. Like, well, because that perfect body doesn't exist. So I do object to that, but it's like, it's out of my realm. Like whatever those folks want to do, that's
fine. It's not a news issue.
No, it's not a news issue. And to me, if it's not a news magazine, I really don't much care. Although I understand some people's concerns like, well, okay, it questions the credibility of everything that we do. They assume that if they do that for those types of magazines, that news magazines do it as well. Well, okay, that's where you have to draw the line. But it is important to point out a couple of things. And Gilka, you know, I certainly would never want to get crossways with him, but it depends on what he means in that statement. There's a difference between manipulating an image and altering an image. What we can do, and certainly Geographic got caught doing this. They famously smooshed the pyramids together. It was a photograph that was shot horizontally. They liked it very much. There was a camel caravan going by on the horizon in front of the pyramids, and they loved the image. This was way back. I mean, this was way back in like 1989 or whatever. And they liked the image so much they wanted to put it on the cover, but of course it was a horizontal and it's a vertical format magazine, as almost all of them are. So they smooshed the pyramids together. I mean, they actually took the picture and turned it into a vertical image. Well, they quickly got caught and they've been apologizing for that ever since, okay, as they should. But there's a difference between manipulation and alteration. So let's get that out of the way first.
So what is manipulation?
Manipulation means there's almost never, I don't think there's ever been a camera made that can capture reality perfectly unless you control all the light and everything else. It's almost unheard of to have an image that is perfect. I suppose in a studio setting is possible. So it's, for instance, there are areas of images that are too dark, and there are areas of images that are too light, because digital cameras, they're not perfect, and film cameras weren't perfect either. And so it's considered okay to areas that are too dark, lighten them up, and areas that are too light, darken them down. And the basic rule is if whatever you're doing to the image makes it close represent reality closer than what the original was from the camera, that's good.
That's termed manipulation.
That's manipulation. I'm going to manipulate this image because, you know, there's just it was a contrasty day. There's the shadows underneath that tree are not real. You know, if I look over that tree, I can see detail in my image. I can't see the detail. Well, in Photoshop, we call that bringing it up. You can lighten up that image. You're not changing reality at all. What you're doing is trying to represent reality as best you possibly can. The camera does most of that work, but some of the finished work we do in Photoshop, that's called manipulation, and we're okay with that. But it's, you have to be really careful with that, because you can go too far with that. I could show you, if I wanted to pull it up on the screen, an image that won an award of two high school football players hugging and crying in a spotlight. And it's, you know, it's vignetted, heavily vignetted, and they're in a spotlight. And, you know, I played football. My oldest son played football. And so I've shot a lot of pictures of high school seniors hugging and crying because the season's over. And for a lot of them, that was the highlight of their life. I was never lucky enough to get a picture of the two people hugging and crying standing in a spotlight. Turns out he wasn't either. He vignetted the picture so darkly on the edges, it looked like they were in a spotlight. So he got in a lot of trouble for that. Now,
So that's not manipulation. It is what?
That is manipulation, but taken to the extreme so that it is alteration. He altered reality because that's not what the real scene looked like.
And that's your definition then of alteration.
Alteration is when you alter it to the point it's no longer real. And generally that's done with putting something in the image that's not there. As you mentioned, moving the guy's head, that's kind of a different thing in a way. But oftentimes it's taking something out. That's where you see it more often than not, is somebody will find something in the image that they find distracting, and it's called cloning it out. And it's very, very easy to do. And that's, oh my God, that's forbidden.
And this is not new. This is not just digital. This has been going on since the advent of photography. This was going on in ways during Civil War photography. Manipulation of images in the darkroom to change the reality, right? This is retouching. This is done in the days of prior to digital, when this was shot on film, and there were tricks and techniques to change the image in the darkroom.
Well, that's a dirty little secret that nobody seems to understand. It's like, oh my God, there's been Photoshop. Well, that statement means nothing. Of course, it's been Photoshop. We run it through Photoshop when we're cropping it and sizing it and all that. But when they say that, what they mean is it's been altered using the Photoshop software. But you're absolutely correct. From the very beginning, things have been manipulated. Matthew Brady and a couple other folks who worked for him, they didn't do so much manipulation or alteration, rather, in the darkroom, but they would take uniforms with them. If they take a picture of a dead sniper, this is a famous example of theirs, laying on the ground and he's wearing a Union uniform, they would take that picture, and knowing that they could probably sell that picture to somebody who was sympathetic to the Confederate side, because this is a dead enemy. And then they would strip him of that Union uniform and put on a Confederate uniform, and this is a dead body, and they would take the picture and sell that to people who were sympathetic to the other side. They dragged bodies across fields and lined them up so the image was more aesthetically pleasing, etc. But you don't have to go that far back. I mean, my point here is things that we do now in Photoshop, or people can do in Photoshop, a lot of people think that couldn't be done before. That's not true at all. You go back to the famous image, the Kent State, which would have been 1969, of the student unfortunately laying on the ground on the sidewalk dead, and the young 14-year-old runaway girl screaming over his body. Well, if you look at that original image, there's a pole behind her that appears to be coming out of her head. And when Life magazine ran that, they took that out.
Is that okay? No. Is that not okay? And it's not okay, why?
It's not okay because it's alteration, because it doesn't represent reality.
So what about then, what might be called alteration in terms of framing or cropping, taking a picture that because of the surroundings, one might judge it as alteration because it isn't showing something.
Yes, you're absolutely right about that. That's an alteration of a different form. That's altering the meaning of the image that you assume that the people will get. A famous example back in the days when the press could travel with the president easily and other people did as well. Kennedy, as you know, was a bit of a womanizer back in those days. Nobody was allowed to talk about it, or they didn't. There was, you know, kind of a secret agreement that that would not be talked about. And when Johnson was a womanizer, et cetera. But in any case, a publication hired a prostitute to get on the flight that they knew Kennedy, President John Kennedy and Jackie would be on. And when they came down to stop for the gaggle of the photographers, the prostitute quickly ran down and stood next to him. And their photographer took that picture and cropped out Jackie Kennedy and published it as John Kennedy traveling with a prostitute. Now, the truth of the matter is he had actually traveled with a prostitute. But the point is, like, that's not real. I mean, it's real, like, okay, but it's sort of a weird thing. So the message, the information conveyed by that image was not real. And therefore, that also is horribly unethical.
So the consumer, the news consumer, should do what when looking at news photography to figure out whether what they're receiving is a fair representation of news, or is everything so easily messed with that we as consumers are at the mercy of whomever put the picture out for us to view?
Well, the answer is no to your second part, in the sense that there is an organization called NPPA, National Press Photographers Association, who keeps a very close eye on what the professionals are doing. Okay, it's not a union because that'd be illegal, but it is, they're sort of the overlords more or less. And if they call you out and tell you that you've done something unethical, your career is probably over, more than likely done. And I can talk about lots of examples of that. So they keep a close eye. But the other thing is like, okay, so here's a key in what you just asked me. What do we do? Why should we trust news photos? Like, where are you seeing this? Is it a news photo or not? If it's online somewhere, I wouldn't trust it at all. So there's kind of almost a checklist. It's not just photos. It's just new fake news or whatever you want to call it. You know, how can you tell is news is credible or not? Well, your first question should be, are you consuming it from a credible source? If it's a photo in the Washington Post, I can pretty much damn sure guarantee you that it's legit. Okay, if it's on OAN, One America News is like, not so much, you know. And if Tucker Carlson has put it on his show, and he's recently accused the FBI of actually trying to overthrow the government on 6th of January, and there was no Proud Boys there, it was all the FBI in costumes. It's like, there's nothing credible about what his show is. And you know, Jones and his InfoWars, that's, you know, it's conspiracy theories. So first, your first question is it a credible source? If it's the New York Times, the Washington Post, AP, LA Times, the answer is you're probably okay. But there have been examples. AP has bought photos. There was a photo that the AP bought from somebody who came in was running for president. I'm blanking on his name. Swift Boat, help me out here.
McCain. No, not McCain. Wrong guy. Okay. The guy who became the Secretary of State, and we can both not know his name.
Both know his name. Anyways, John Kerry, thank you very much. Yeah. So he said, oh my God, I was up in my attic and I found a picture that was in this chest that my grandfather had. And here's John Kerry with Jane Fonda speaking at a rally. All right, well, you know, there's a whole segment of our population who will never forgive Jane Fonda for what she did when she went to North Vietnam, went to Hanoi and sat in the anti-aircraft gun. But John Kerry never campaigned with her, never rallied with her. But somebody had in the darkroom had created that image, and they took a picture of John Kerry at a rally and took a picture of her and in a darkroom put it together, and AP bought it and they ran it. And then it was found out to be fake. Of course, then they were livid that they had been made fools of. But so is it foolproof? It's not foolproof, but you know, the credible sources, they're good. They got fact checkers. There are ways you can actually do in a digital image. You can do a reverse search where you can take the image and you can click on it and Google will come up were the original of that. So they're away. So your first thing is it a credible source? That gets rid of 90% of the dreck right there. Because if it's not a credible source, don't trust it. Just don't trust it. And, you know, so there's that.
But then past that, are there things that the average Joe and Jane can look at to be able to spot something that is not a representation of reality?
Probably not. We are at the point now, yes, there's software that you can take virtually any digital image and run it through it, and it'll tell you if somebody has altered it, not manipulated it, but altered it, moved pixels around, because it'll check pixel patterns.
But with the naked eye, no.
No, and with the naked eye, you won't tell. And even the deep fakes now, which are scary, they're real scary, because a deep fake is they've got now digital technology where you can create a fake video. Video was usually fail safe because you couldn't, you know, dark room screw with it. You can now. It's called a deep fake, and it's scary. So that's a problem. But I will say this. This is another sort of a check on that. Again, first of all, don't get your news from sources unless they're credible. If you want to go online, and I do every day, and be amused by some of the garbage that's out there, okay, that's fine. But it's garbage, okay? But if it's a credible source, you're good. The other thing is, if it's a photo or a story that you think, oh my goodness, well, if it's that kind of story, it's going to be somewhere else. There's almost no oh my goodness stories out there that aren't picked up by the other news sources. So if the New York Times has it, the Washington Post will have it the next day or later that same day. If it's that kind of a story, and if no other credible source is reporting on it, you should question it. Okay.
Good. That's it. That is good advice. Now, before you leave us, would you comment on the famous Robert Capa photo of the Spanish Civil War combatant, and also the Iwo Jima famous shot of the American flag going up with the four Marines pushing it up, and how that fits into our conversation?
Well, okay, and that fits in the conversation. Not too many people know the story on the Robert Capa. I don't think many people, it's called The Death of a Loyal Soldier, and I don't think many people would question that. That's controversial. That negative of that image has never been found. It's believed to be in a suitcase that he was afraid was going to be confiscated from him. He handed it off, and so the original negative has never been found. It is widely believed by certain people for sure that it's probably faked, that it's not altered image, but he had the guy fall over backwards as though he had been shot. And there's a reason for that. He had a history of bending the truth, to say the least. Robert Capa wasn't even his real name. Okay. And he did things, and he was a hell of a photojournalist. I mean, like, he's one of my heroes. But it is believed by several experts that that is more than likely a faked image. That one is not the one that people sort of think, that's probably fake. But certainly the raising of the flag, Joe Rosenthal's pictures raising the flag in Iwo Jima, that one is assumed to be faked. And there is
or one could argue, revisited the next day of something that happened or apparently happened. That's story I've heard at any rate.
Well, okay, so the official story on that, because God only knows they spent a lot of time trying to figure out what happened there, but I'll make this as short as I can, but it's a long story. But once you raise the flag on the high ground, if you know anything about warfare, generally speaking, if you've got the high ground, you're probably going to win the battle. Not necessarily, but usually. And so once they took the high ground, one of the admiral on the ship offshore said, put a flag up there, because the Japanese fought very bravely and they were very tenacious and they just refused to surrender. And he said, make them know that we have the high ground, because this bloodshed has to stop. This is meaningless bloodshed now. We're going to take this island. They should surrender. And so they took a flag up, and Joe Rosenthal was up there and went up with him, and they raised the flag. And he got his picture, and I have a copy of the picture of them with the original flag raising. It's a smaller flag. He started then walking down the volcano, and another guy said, Joe, where are you going? He said, I got my picture. He said, no, wait. The admiral said that flag's not big enough. They're bringing up a much larger flag. You should hang around. He said, okay. And that's the photo you know. Okay, the reason it's thought to be faked by a lot of people is because that was the picture. He's not a photo editor, wasn't a photo editor. And back in those days, this is not digital times, this is World War II, you put your roll of film in an envelope, in your caption in there. You gave it to the censor, and you hoped to God it would eventually end up at your newspaper at some point. You had no way of knowing, and you had no way of knowing if it ever got there. And so he did not know. He assumed, because when they raised the first flag, which was small, he then said, he staged it. He said, get around the flag, folks. And all the Marines got in a big circle around the flag, cheering, waving, yay, in their hands. And he took a picture. And that was a really nice, optimistic, positive, inspiring picture of the troops. Yay, we're going to win. This life is good. He thought that was the best shot. The second shot of the larger flag is like, eh, whatever, four guys sticking a flag in the ground. And so about a month later, the story goes, he was in Italy, of all places. He had gone from the Pacific Theater to the European Theater, ran into a reporter from the Philadelphia Inquirer who had seen it, because that picture, my God, he did not know the second image, which is the four Marines raising the flag, was so stunning. It was in almost every newspaper in the United States. And it was like, wow. He didn't know. They had no way of knowing that, of course. And so he ran into a reporter who said, Joe, your picture of that, the flag raising, my God, it was amazing. He said, oh, thank you very much. He said, was that faked? He said, yeah, of course I staged it. Because he assumed that the photo editor would choose the first one with all the Marines standing around cheering. Because to him, that was more inspirational. And then that reporter wrote to the newspaper and said, famous picture, faked. And then when he finally said, no, wait, excuse me, which picture are we talking about? Damage done, too late. The article had been printed in the Philadelphia Inquirer that he had faked that image. And that is still with us today, that people think that image is faked.
Amazing stories that come out of photojournalism, and perhaps in part because we are accustomed to thinking that this picture speaks a thousand words and the picture represents a reality. And it's an important part of our story here on Real News. What is real and what is fake, and can we ascertain it? And so thank you, Dan Morrison, for being with us today.
My pleasure, as always, Peter.
You've been listening to Real News. Where is it? I'm Peter Laufer, co-director of the University of Oregon UNESCO Crossings Institute. Join us again for more on Real News.